Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ESNY.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Knicks State of Mind podcast. I'm Chip Murphy here with Danny Small. Still coming down off that amazing Knicks double overtime victory in the home opener against the Celtics. I mean, there's really no words to describe that one. That was, in my opinion, the best regular season win of the Knicks era since Melo, like bar none. Danny, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the way I looked at it is like, obviously a bunch of Knicks fans are very pumped about the win, and like, it was crazy, double overtime, you know, back and forth. So, like, definitely I understand being excited. And the Knicks answered some questions. RJ Barrett was good defensively. They had balance on offense. But it's one game. So, you got to kind of, like, put it into perspective. It's a really good win. It was a great atmosphere, all that. MSG was alive. But, yeah, it's just one game. Got to just put your head down.
Exactly. It was one game, and it was great to beat the Celtics.
Always is.
Amazing. It's amazing for every team to beat the Celtics.
Any sport beating
any
Boston.
Sport against Boston, the Patriots, Red Sox, whoever, especially the Patriots. Let's be honest. It's best to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
But the Knicks have a couple games coming up against the Orlando Magic. And since we're playing the Magic, there was only one person we could bring on. And that's a longtime friend of the show. And friend of ours, that is Stephen Cameron. He is the creator and host of the Close Up Magic. Stephen, thanks for coming back on, man. We appreciate it.
You know, I love coming on the show, guys. Like, it's one of my favorites to come and chat basketball with. So I'm always down. Wow, you guys like started off the season strong, huh? With a double overtime win and Magic legend Evan Fournier going off for, I think it was 32 points in that opener.
One of our favorites.
The Magic and blew it in the, in the fourth, but then came back clutch in the in overtime with a couple big threes there. So that's exciting. I'm glad to see him have like a really good debut with the Knicks.
Yeah, I said I was on a different podcast today, and I said we got the full Evan Fournier experience in that opener.
Yeah, we got all the threes, all the scoring, like the he was passing, getting steals, but yeah, then that defensive breakdown at the end was. That was bad, but then he made up for it in overtime by drilling like four threes in a row. So that was a good debut for Evan Fournier. It gave everyone a glimpse into the whole Magic experience there.
If I can jump in here for a second, if Knicks fans aren't fully aware of the Evan Fournier experience, what that really means is like he's gonna get you buckets. Like that's what he does. He can play make a little bit, but the thing that drives Magic fans crazy is. Is late in games, he is either like Michael Jordan or he doesn't remember how to play basketball and like will make the most boneheaded pass ever. Or he's like draining threes like he did for you all last night. So like it's not always going to be like a defensive slip. A lot of times it's like an offensive slip. But thankfully, I think you guys actually aren't going to run into that too much offensively since, you know, you have so many other ball handlers where the Magic did not have a lot of ball handlers. So he had to do a lot more. But yeah, you guys got it. But I'm psyched for you guys. I think Evan's going to be awesome for the Knicks and like I'm really excited for that. But yeah, I will warn you, the Magic started off the season 4-0 last year. And we also ended with the fifth pick in the draft. So just anything aside. Yeah. I want good things for Knicks fans. You guys, like, you've been through a lot. But you never know.
Anything can happen. That's true.
It's like what I said, injuries. It's one game. It's one game. That's all it is. It was a great game, but yeah, that's it.
Anything can happen. That's for sure. But Let's talk about the Magic and that first game and the preseason. What do you think? That first game was ugly against the Spurs. That we don't have to talk about the first season. We can talk about what you think of the season so far and what Knicks fans can expect from the Magic coming up so far. I know the Magic are beat up a lot with injuries. I think most people know that, but what can Knicks fans expect from this team?
Well, we're never not beat up. That's just like our MO for the last couple of years. So you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a really high, fast energy team going up and down the court like crazy. Right now we're running a lot of like dribble handoffs. But that's also, I think, potentially could have been scheming for the Spurs a little bit. Hopefully we'll see some more pick and roll against the Knicks. I'm really excited, particularly about the matchups with the bigs. Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle versus Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. Mm-hmm. So that I think is going to be the exciting matchups for the Magic particularly. Obviously our guards are really can be fun. They can go off or not, but like the people who have been most impressive and most consistent throughout the preseason and even up until our season opener last night versus the Spurs is our big men, Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo Bamba, who've stepped up big time from last year into this year. Just draining, both of them are stretching the floor now, draining threes. Both of them are making really smart passes. Rebounding still is kind of an issue for them, so you guys will probably get a lot of offensive rebounds on us. But it should be a fun, fairly physical battle too.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't get a chance to watch too much of that Spurs game, but if you just look at, you know, Mo Bamba's line, 6 for 8, 3 for 4 from three, had a couple rebounds, couple assists, 4 blocks. Looks like he kind of was like had his hand all in a little bit of everything. So like just with Bamba, how like is this finally the year where he kind of like breaks out of his shell? Because for, you know, a few years in the beginning there, it was like up and down. I know he had injuries. Do you think this is possibly a year with, since there's no expectations, it's kind of like, go out there, you know, you're the guys, go learn, go figure it out. Do you think this is a year where we could see like some big, big steps forward for him?
Danny, it's the year for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, now granted, I'm going to make a joke here for a second because Mo Bamba was leading the entire Magic in every category, including turnovers and fouls in the Spurs in the season opener versus the Spurs.
Got a foul just, in the yeah. first play of the game.
Last not just night. Points and everything yeah. else, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's us. But yeah, no, Mo Bamba, I mean – here's the thing. Mo Bamba was in a tough situation last couple of years. His rookie year, he had the leg injury. Then after that, it was like the bubble season, and he got COVID, and he had long-term issues with COVID, and he always had like getting in physical NBA condition issues was hard for him, especially as he was growing and putting on weight. But then you add COVID issues to that where he was really affected, and that just really knocked him out. And then when he was having a hard time like getting up to speed and staying consistent, like Coach Clifford's trying to win, he's trying to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's throwing in Ken Birch over him during that point in time. Cause you got to win at that point. You can't develop. So, yeah, he doesn't have anyone holding him back right now. He's starting side by side next to Wendell Carter Jr. So, and he actually played more minutes than Wendell last night. Though I think Wendell might've like slightly tweaked something in like his leg or something like that. I don't know. He got pulled up with like 12 minutes into the game or something like that. So, yeah, no, I mean, Mo looks great. He's looking efficient offensively. He's looking really aggressive offensively. He's looking a lot better positionally, and just alert more defensively. What I was most impressed with Mo Bamba last night was not so much that he lit up the box score, but just he was like, you look at him and he had the intensity going on. Like he was just super engaged, just wanting, he was doing all like the hustle plays. At one point you saw him like launching on the floor to pick up a loose ball. And that's the kind of stuff you want to see from him, as well as the offensive aggressiveness and the defensive positioning and eventually he'll stop fouling. But, yeah, he's been crushing it. He's been him and Wendell Carter have been absolutely crushing it this preseason, and obviously our season opener, which we lost in not great fashion, but they did well. So,
is that the permanent starting lineup that you think you'll see until Jonathan Isaac comes back?
No, I think, I mean, Chuma Okeke will probably be back in the next week and or so. He's got like a bruised hip or something that they're just taking his time back. Mm-hmm. The Magic are low-key tanking this year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if this was a season we were actually really going for it, Markel Fultz and Jonathan Isaac would be playing right now, but there's not like a real pressure to do that. So anyone who's got the slightest injury is like, just let's just sit you out until you're 100% ready. So now as soon as Chuma Okeke comes back, I think we'll see one of them slide to the second unit, and then you'll have Wendell or Mo starting with Chuma, who's already ruled out for Friday's game, starting at the four, and then probably Gary Harris starting at the three next to Suggs or Cole, or Ross even has started in one of the preseason games. So there's a couple different lineups that are, it's hard because we haven't had full health for me to really know, but if I had to guess, like full health, like a full season, like everyone would be like Fultz, Suggs, Harris, J.I., then Mo or Bamba, which everyone has like won the starting spot. Or sorry, Mo or Wendell.
Mo or Wendell
has started earned that. But I think, like, if I had to guess, our starting lineup would be the exact same of what we had last night. It's not if I had to guess. That's going to be the starting lineup tomorrow, is what we had last night, which was Wendell, Mo at the power forward and center. We had...
You played pretty big with Wagner, too.
We did. Right? Yeah. We had Franz Wagner playing as well next to Suggs and Cole Anthony. Mo Bamba was the most veteran player, the oldest player on the court 23 years old, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a rough year. If it's a close game tomorrow, I'll be surprised. And I mean, close on the Magic keeping it in there, to be quite honest. And that's just not me being like, I love the Magic. I'm really excited for this season. But like, you guys got a veteran team that are like going for the playoffs. We're trying to develop, like, our X's and O's are still like getting worked out. So, you know, at this point, we're still in like developmental stage and not so much scheming stage. Right. So,
I think
it should be fun, dude. Like, someone's going to go off. Franz Wagner was going off last night. So that's going to be cool.
And I think just the fact that, you know, Jamal Mosley, like, new coach in there, he's going up against, you know, and he's a new coach with new team, like a lot of turnover, like you said, injuries, you're not really sure who you're going to have night to night necessarily. Then you have Tom Thibodeau, who has, even though the Knicks are a little banged up here and there, but he's got his set rotations that he basically knows exactly what he's doing going into the year. They know exactly what they want to do on offense. They know exactly what they want to do on defense. Just two teams in different positions. But I mean, as Knicks, you know, I'm less of a fan and more of a writer now, I think, over the years. But I think just we've seen enough Knicks teams where we've been in that developmental stage. Yeah. And it's like, Chip and I have talked at this at length over the years of just, you know, when you get into those January, February games and you're not even watching for like, oh, I hope they win tonight. You're watching saying, you know, let's see how Mitchell Robinson does against this person. Let's see how, you know, RJ Barrett does against this person. And I think that goes back to your point in the beginning of that front court of Carter and Bamba. This is a really good test for them because Randall is, you know, after last year, second team all NBA, he's going to be a tough assignment for Carter. And then Bamba going up against a guy like Mitch, who kind of, they're similar skill sets. I mean, Bamba is more of a shooter, can do a couple more things offensively, but they're both that, you know, tall, big, like rolling big. So the two of them going at it should be fun to see. And then I do like the backcourt of the Magic right now. I like Cole Anthony. I like Jalen Suggs. Obviously, they're young. It's going to take some time, but I really, really like Jalen Suggs coming into this year. And I think you guys got a steal with him kind of falling a little bit there.
Yeah, he's going to be fun. And I'm hoping some of what we saw against the Spurs was just like a little bit of like season opener jitters, and that things will slow down a little bit, because like Cole Anthony can do a better job of running the offense while Suggs is playing off ball a little bit more. And I think that's what we need tomorrow versus the Knicks to really have like a successful like chance. Like, we don't need to let Suggs run the offense because he's not there yet. We need to let him score while other people are setting up the offense. And that's where not having like secondary ball handlers like Gary Harris on the court who can help in that area is going to hurt us on the wing. Because Franz Wagner, he's not a creator. He's a slasher. He's a hit open three shots, right? He's not someone who's going to dribble and create for others. So if your primary creator is a brand new rookie and Cole Anthony for your starting lineup, it's going to be a little hairy. So I want Cole to do that. I'd like Suggs needs to focus more on scoring and being a secondary ball handler, not so much like the primary. And I think that's what will help us a little bit more in the game versus the Knicks the next couple of games. And hopefully we can get either like one of Chuma or Gary Harris back for at least the second game with the season opener at Amway, which would be really nice.
Yeah, I think just that idea that you kind of brought up there about letting, even though, you know, Suggs, I think when he eventually reaches his peak, he'll be handling the ball a lot, but just for sure. having guys around him who can handle the ball and kind of take that pressure off of him will be very, very helpful for him down the road. And I mean, honestly, it's kind of a different way of looking at it, but that's kind of what the Knicks did when they brought in Fournier and Kemba Walker. Obviously Julius Randle and RJ Barrett aren't rookies, but just to kind of like take pressure off of somebody. I think like that's one thing, you can't have enough ball handlers on the floor because it just makes everybody's life easier. And I think you're right. Suggs is kind of in a tough position here, but at the same time, sometimes, I mean, like you said, the Magic are low key tanking. It's not a terrible thing to kind of throw them into the fire here.
No,
and just let them learn on the fly. I mean, I think he'll be fine down the road, you know?
Yeah, he'll be fine. We might even see a different Suggs in one of the games, you know, against the Knicks. He could go off, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did. He has that ability for sure. I don't think he's this like raw prospect that's going to take a long time. But I do think when you're primarily ball handlers in Markelle Fultz, Michael Carter Williams, Gary Harris, shoot, even Etuan Moore, all of them are out with injury and they're not going to play tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. And even you lose some wing creation with Jonathan Isaac and Chuma Okeke. It's just going to make things challenging, but it should be fun. Like, one thing that I think you guys can expect from the Magic is they're going to play hard, really hard, and they're not going to give up on any play, which is really fun because there's not going to be an easy bucket for. When I say easy, there's going to be easy buckets because like just talent level and development for where our teams are at. But there's not going to be a bucket that the Magic aren't trying to stop you on, which is really which is going to be really cool.
Yeah,
that was kind of their signature under Clifford too, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know it's only been one game, but Terrence Ross has always been a Knick killer. So he just killed the Knicks. Can we just expect more of the same Terrence Ross based off what you saw on the Spurs game? Flamethrower,
yeah. Sure. He's gonna light you guys up. He always does. He always will. I mean, he's gonna lead the Magic in scoring this season, and while he's on the team, you know, if he gets traded, that's another story. But as long as he's on the team, I wouldn't be surprised if he led the Magic in scoring all season. To be quite honest, he's gonna light it up. And he's got the green light. That hasn't changed from the new coach to the old coach. So he's definitely going to be there. And, you know, they like running him on that second unit and then just letting him torch other people's second units. And he's doing more than just, like, running off a screen and hitting a three. Like, you'll see him drive to the basket a bit more, which is fun. You know, he's looking for open lanes to cut and, you know, catch lobs when he can. So yeah, he's a bucket getter, and I wouldn't expect him to do anything less than 20 points tomorrow and probably 25 in the season opener in Amway.
Okay. What's the opinion of him like long term? Because I know there was trade rumors brought up last year. Like, the Magic fans want to keep him. What do you think is gonna happen?
So it's 50-50, right? Terrence Ross is one of the most beloved Magic players that the Magic have had in the last 5 years. He's just got that energy that really connects with fans, which is great. He's on an awesome contract, 2 years at like 12 and 13 left. So very tradable, and he provides a skill that a lot of teams need. But when you break it down and really look at the league and what what he provides to the Magic, which is something that not a lot of players are doing, the ability to score, the ability to space the floor consistently and hit open shots and attract defenders, where, you know, some of our players can do that, might not have the respect of the league yet to do that, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Not many people are running out to go guard RJ Hampton on the line yet. That's going to change because he's hitting shots, but it's not there yet. People aren't game planning for them yet. So here's my opinion. If you look at all the contenders that would easily give a late first round for someone like Terrence Ross, well, they don't have first round picks. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Nets, those teams don't have first round picks to give. So then you're kind of looking at the next tier of groups of players, like of teams like the Knicks, the Pacers, the Suns,
Celtics, possibly,
because Celtics,
there's that connection, yeah, there from last year, maybe, who knows.
There's only a couple of those teams that have picks that should would be able to give up a pick for that. And I think that's what the Magic front office would want. They'd want a pick, or they'd want a player that they could see being a part of the team. Not necessarily a young player. We got plenty of those, but maybe, you know, a guy on his second year, you know, second contract or something like that, who's a little bit more established, a little bit more known. So it really kind of depends on that, but I just don't really know if the market's going to level out this year to really welcome a trade that makes sense, to what that would outweigh. I'm not in the camp of trading Ross just to get back an asset, because sometimes I don't think the assets are going to outweigh what Ross gives to the Magic in the now and in the long term. Because honestly, I could see him re-signing. He loves Orlando. His kids and family are like really embedded in the community out here. You know, they go on some vacations, but they also do a lot of time just hanging out in Orlando when they're not, you know, during the off season. So I'm not like, hey, we need to trade him. Obviously, if the right opportunity comes, like, sure, let's do it. But I wouldn't mind if he stayed on the team a little bit longer.
And he's got 1 year left in his deal after this year too. So even don't, you know, like you said, that deal kind of, at least at this point in the season, it doesn't look like that's kind of shaking out where there's going to be an opportunity there, but you know, maybe it's a little bit less compensation or something like that. But with a year left on his deal, you still have options going
forward. Yeah, we got plenty of time to figure it out.
Yeah.
He could be gone this deadline, and I could be way off and way wrong on how I'm looking at the league, but I'm not the one trying to like get him off the Magic team and just get back anything that we can. Mm. Like, I see a pretty big value in what he does, and the young kids really seem to respect him and like him. And you know, if we trade him for like a pick and a player who doesn't want to be here, then what is that? What, you know, and that pick is like a early second or a late first that might not pan out anyways. Like, what are we talking? Like, what's the point? What are we talking about here? Yeah. So, when you have a veteran that's like willing to lead this team and like try and put in the work to make this team better, like that can be a longer asset than an actual longer asset, if that makes sense.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. And do you really want to be the OKC Thunder where you're just stacking pick after pick? Exactly. As a fan, that's a terrible spot to be in.
We're going to tank this year, and then I want them to go full force to start trying to win and improve this roster. Yeah. I don't want another 5-year rebuild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, not saying like the Knicks are perfect or anything, or they're going to win a championship this year, next year, or whatever. But like, I think you see like what the Knicks did, you can kind of turn it around pretty quickly if you have the right coach. So, you know, Magic, I would assume they think they have the right coach. They just hired him. So you have the right coach. You get a couple of young guys who gel, maybe, you know, not putting Terrence Ross on the level of like a Julius Randle necessarily, but if you have like vets who can kind of play with the young guys and bring them up, it shouldn't take 5 years. You shouldn't be, you know, planning, well, at the 2024 draft, that's when we're really going to, you know, really get this in motion. You can turn around pretty quickly. The 5-year rebuild is, I wouldn't say a myth, but it's not the way I would go about doing it.
No, I don't think. I mean, we have it a little bit harder than the Knicks just simply because of our location. Like, mm-hmm. we're not in New York. We're in Orlando. You know, doesn't mean we won't get free agents, but we're not going to get the same type of free. Like, Kemba Walker isn't, like, knocking at our door, mm-hmm. you know? But doesn't mean, like, you're right. I mean, like, we can make moves. We have so many assets and so many young mm-hmm. players right now that, like, we can make the right trades to get the right players to then attract certain free agents. So, like, anything is possible in the next couple of years. We got the tools. So I'm excited. Honestly, like, I don't have a lot of high expectations except for individual player growth this season. Like, I'm not here, like, hoping we hit, like, 30 wins or something like that. Like, we're probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and that's okay. But I'm, like, super excited about this Magic team, and I think we're going to see, like, some players, like, really pop off this year.
I'm glad you brought up trades, because you guys are kind of in a position, not record-wise, like the contract and roster-wise, like the Memphis Grizzlies, where you have young talent and tradable contracts to go get a star player. And there's a lot of guys available now who are available for trade, who it seems like they're either available or going to become available. Ben Simmons is the one guy who is available. Is there anybody out there who you can think of, like Ben Simmons, Bradley Beal, eventually maybe Karl Anthony Towns? We've talked about him, I don't even know how many times on this podcast. Yeah, Danny's laughing already. Yeah, yeah. Too many times, and I'm sure many more times during the season.
Yeah.
But is there anybody that, because we all have that guy that we want our team to go get. Yeah. Is there anybody that you want that guy to be for the Magic?
Oh gosh, man, like all of them.
That's
you
good.
Know, like, I not this year, I'm not so much in that rush, because, like, I feel like if we were to make that, like, move now, it'd put too much of pressure on, like, some of these younger players who aren't necessarily, like, that would still be left on the roster that might not be ready for that next level yet. Like, I really do think Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, even Fultz, like, I feel like they really need, like, a full season to really just kind of, like, mesh. And we probably need that to evaluate which ones we're willing to keep and which ones we're willing to send away. Like, there's going to be some debate there between, like, Magic fans right now, like, who's the better player long term, Cole or RJ, right? That's like a real conversation that's happening in Magic Twitter right now. And, you know, and all of our forwards, we have J.I., Chuma, Franz Wagner, you know, kind of still this, like, no one, like, everyone can kind of play the three, but no one is, like, a natural three. You know, we have decisions to make on Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter. We're not going to keep both of them. Now, granted, we just extended Wendell, but that doesn't mean we might not keep Mo Bamba and potentially flip Wendell a little bit later. So there's still questions about this roster that we need answered before we go make that big move. But, man, I would love, like, a scoring wing. Like, you know, like, if Bradley Beal is available, and, you know, or a guy like a Beal, you know, maybe Donovan Mitchell in, like, the next year gets just fed up with his situation in Utah, right? But he's still got multiple years left on their contract. Those are the type of stars that I'm looking for. Guys that still have 2-3 years left on the contract that are kind of disgruntled. Maybe 2 years is more realistic. Because, like, or a guy at the end of their rookie contract that we would still have their rights for restricted free agency. Because we go after, you know, Beal right now, or, you know, who else, you know, Dame Lillard or someone who's at the end of their contract, like, they're going to ask for out. Like, they're not going to re-sign with us when their contract's up, because we're just not going to be there yet. Those guys are probably on, you know, teams that are already in the playoffs, and we're going to be that team trying to make the playoffs. So we kind of need to be that team, like, already at the edge of the playoffs, or looking like that's where we're projecting before we go trade for that guy to bring us solidified, bona fide playoff team, if that makes sense. That's, like, that's my theory to going and getting that guy. But that's eventually what the Magic are going to have to do. In the next year or so, we're going to have to consolidate some of these young players, get rid of some of these picks that we have, and go trade for a disgruntled star and have them help us take it to the next level.
Is there any other way to build a contender in the NBA?
not really.
Maybe not anymore, honestly.
Not, like, in Orlando.
With the way free agency is going, too, it's getting tougher and tougher for teams to do that.
The next CBA contract negotiations are going to be really interesting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we have to talk about Chuma because, I mean, Zach Lowe just wrote his five most intriguing players for the upcoming season. And if you don't know who Chuma Okeke is, you have to watch clips of Chuma Okeke. I'm sure most of you know who Zach Lowe is. Zach Lowe just wrote about Chuma in his five most intriguing players to watch for the upcoming season. Steven, what do you think of Chuma for this season? What do you think his role is going to be? What should Knicks fans expect to see from him? I know he's a little banged up right now, but if he ends up playing in one of the two games.
Okay, so first off, I'm going to say I haven't read that Zach Lowe article, and I didn't know he was in there, so I'm going to go read that right after we get off this phone call. Man, Chuma's awesome. Like, he's got one of the highest IQs on the team as far as basketball, in my opinion. Like, he always knows where to be. He is a super smart defender, great off-ball, like, help defender, really solid on-ball defender. You probably don't want him on point of attack defense, but, like, he can, like, if a switch gets on to him, like, he can handle it if need be. So, like, just defensively, he's always a troublemaker defensively, because he'll give people issues for sure. Offensively, don't leave him open. He will drain a three in your face. At the end of last year, we started seeing him handle the ball a lot more and do a little bit more creating, which was kind of cool, and like passing for others. He's a willing passer, but not always going to pass, if that makes sense. So, like, if he's got the shot, he'll take it, but he also knows when to pass and give it to someone else. Or, you know, if he sees someone else like making a smart cut, he'll pass to them. So, yeah, he's just a very smart player. He's really young. He's going to pop this season, and a lot of teams are going to like feel that they slept on him in the draft and just kind of forgot about him, 'cause he hasn't played much these last couple of years 'cause of, you know, injury his rookie year that he was held out on rehabbing. And then last year, he played a decent amount last year, but like not a whole lot until the end of the season when like we kind of blew it up. And I mean, then he won, you know, he was putting up like 17 a night. So, yeah.
I loved him at Auburn. I watched a decent amount of SEC basketball. He was great at Auburn. I think the word you used was perfect. He's a troublemaker. Like he's out there. He's like not always going to put up like crazy numbers or like eye popping box score stats, but he's just like, he's got his hand in everything a little bit, you know, he's all over the court, you know, kind of like what you were saying earlier about how, you know, these Magic, they're not going to give you anything easy necessarily. They're going to be working their tails off on every play. And I think Okeke he's kind of that. I love that word, troublemaker. That's a good way to describe him.
I have a feeling we'll see him in the home opener for the Magic. Mm-hmm. He's not going to play on Friday. They already said that, but I'm hoping that we can see him for the home opener in Amway, which would be really nice.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I mean, I know he was a big recruit in college. He only slipped to you guys 'cause he was hurt.
Yeah,
right, in college. So
he was supposed to be like a top 10 pick until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And we picked him up at 16.
Yeah, I think he was still. Yeah, I think he was still a lottery pick. He missed his entire rookie season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Magic actually did something really interesting with him. He signed a G League contract, and then at his first season out after he was drafted, he didn't actually sign his rookie scale contract until next year. The following year, which was last season. So he actually has the same rookie contract as Cole Anthony and RJ Hampton. They delayed his contract by a year. I think the only reason why we drafted him at 16 is because he agreed to that structure of like signing 1 year of G League and then that, because if not, he probably would have slipped to the 20s, I'd imagine. Yeah, somehow they finagled that. So we have an extra year of him while he spent basically a G League contract rehabbing an ACL. So we have him for, this is technically a sophomore year on an NBA contract. Crazy.
So this is the question every Knicks fan is wondering.
Is it about Dwayne Bacon?
No, not Dwayne Bacon.
The last time we talked, we spent an unfortunate amount of time talking about Dwayne Bacon. Yeah,
oh, I love Dwayne Bacon. All right.
I was going to say
I wanted to see him play. He got cut. Yeah, I mean.
Iggy Brazdeikis, is he going off against the Knicks this weekend? our old friend who
Stevens facial expression and lean back in the chair.
He was one of those guys who was on the Westchester Knicks for he was just like buried there and putting up great numbers, like crazy box score stats, and you know, everyone on Twitter, gotta bring up Iggy. But he just never, not that he never got a chance, but he just never got it done when he actually came up for the Knicks.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Dwayne Bacon, a guy who only has eyes for the basket and doesn't know how to pass. He's a frustrating player for me. He's going to let you guys up. Yes, I hope he does.
He's going to have his first 40-point game in the
he's
NBA.
He's going to have a 40-point game with like zero assists, zero rebounds, probably a handful of turnovers. You know, hopefully maybe he's got a career high of assists with like at least two.
So. I can't wait to put this in the podcast description. There's going to be like at least two Knicks fans who are like, what the fuck? Iggy's going to be good someday.
Yeah. There's
I'm over exaggerating a little yags, bit, but there's just like a couple of moments where you watch him and you're just like, dude, like pass the damn ball. Mm. Like, what are you doing? And like, he's just got like tunnel vision for the basket. And I was like, Dwayne Bacon, what are you doing? I mean, he's cool. He's a two-way player. I'm excited to see what he can give for the Magic. I probably not someone I would have targeted with that spot, but that's okay. I'm glad that he's on the team. I'm gonna support him, and hopefully he lights you up. That's my hope for Mr. Iggy.
I'd honestly be okay with that. I'd be happy to see him have his moment.
He's probably gonna play tomorrow. Like
yeah, right. What did he play? He played a decent amount of minutes.
Played in the first quarter. Yeah,
played about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we only had 10 available players, and all 10 of them played.
There you go.
That's what I was gonna say. Once you guys get some healthy bodies back, I think he'll be on the bench again.
Yeah. He might be relegated to
So. What can the Magic expect from the Knicks?
Like, the Magic can.
Fournier is going to try and kill us.
They can expect.
Evan Fournier just took 25 shots in the opener. He's going to. What's the over under on shots he takes at Amway? Is it
40?
Yeah.
And you can guarantee that Tom Thibodeau will be coaching both of these games as if it's game 7 of the NBA finals, because it doesn't matter. Regular season don't matter. It's all gas, no break for Tom Thibodeau. He's just Julius Randle's probably going to play 40 minutes in one of the games. RJ Barrett might hit 40. The Knicks.
How's RJ looking? How did he look in that season opener?
So
I feel like he can have a season where he pops off.
We're big RJ believers here, and what he did in the home opener, I think he had 0 points in the first half, but played really, really good defense on Tatum throughout the game. Third quarter, and this goes back to last year. RJ like will be very quiet offensively in the first half, and then go have like a breakaway dunk, and then all of a sudden just pop off in the third quarter. So he had 10 points in the third quarter. I think he finished with 14. But I think he was the primary defender on Tatum for probably like 18 to 20 of his shots. And Tatum was 8 for 30 from the field, 2 for 15 from three. So, I mean, Chip, you can take it from here. You know just how much RJ was important in that game. It's just like you might not notice it if you're just looking at the box score where you caught a few minutes. But RJ was, aside from Randle and Fournier, he was probably the third star in that game just for covering Tatum, switching on to Jaylen Brown a little bit and trying to slow him down. And that's really the number one thing RJ has to do this year, is just become that lockdown wing defender.
Yeah. And he was, I mean, was, and also he had 19 points in the second half and two overtimes.
I think he had 14 at the end of regulation, but 19, right? Yeah. So even better than I thought.
Yeah, he started to find his stroke too. His 3-point shot, how far that's come is just incredible.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's in such a short time too. to be able to find that. It just shows his skill level. But yeah, his defense against Tatum, my God. Yeah, like obviously Jaylen Brown was crazy in that game, but
and Tatum did miss a decent amount of open shots. Like he wasn't himself. Every once in a while you see Tatum kind of just have one of those duds. I feel like he had one in the playoffs a couple of years ago, but he was missing shots, but you can't take anything away from Barrett. Barrett was right in his grill the entire time, picking him up three quarter court sometimes. Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Tatum, 15 of his 30 shots were threes, and he was couldn't hit anything.
Yeah. He takes a lot of pull-up long threes, but RJ was right in his jersey the whole game. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't get any easy shots.
Sorry for the background noise, guys. My wife just got home.
All good.
I'm super psyched to see RJ play tomorrow. That'll be really fun. And I mean, he's just a player I'm like super high on, and I like have a just when you guys kept Rose, got Evan, got Kemba, I'm just like, RJ's going to excel because of those, and just because they're going to provide more stability for him, take off a tiny bit of pressure, and really just allow him to operate a little bit more like he needs to. And so, yeah, I'm super psyched to see what he looks like tomorrow. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think Chip and I were on the same page with you of like Kemba and Fournier coming in. A lot of people were like, well, how's RJ going to get his buckets? How's he going to he's going to be the fourth option? It's like, no, it's like those guys are going to just like open things up for him. And it's going to be like a nice balance. Huge upgrade going from Elfrid Payton to Kemba Walker. And I'm sure as a Magic guy.
Elfrid Payton slander, please.
I don't dislike Elfrid Payton, but
no, Steven loves Elfrid. Steven loves Elfrid Payton.
I was one of the, I'd say the softer people on Elfrid Payton when he was in New York. I don't dislike him at all.
We can be friends then, Danny.
But the fact that teams have to actually guard Kemba Walker at the 3-point line is going to be huge for Elfrid Payton.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or for RJ Barrett, not Elfrid Payton, but
no. Kemba Walker is a massive upgrade over Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton is in a good spot for him right now, which is like third point guard for the Suns. That's solid. So. Yeah,
because obviously last year Knicks fans took it pretty far with Elfrid. They were it was brutal for him a couple
before that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's. And I'm sure he's
from the Pelicans fans and the Suns fans. Yeah,
Suns
fans again. I'm not an Elfrid fan, but I understand.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he went back to Phoenix, and the Phoenix fans are like, Jesus Christ, this guy again.
Yeah, the worst is that just the false narrative about his defense. It's just like he's not a good defender. It's like, he's not a lockdown defender. Stop saying that.
That was Clyde Frazier used to say that every game. He'd be like, defensive player of the year in college. Like, he was obsessed with that.
Yeah. I don't want to turn this into an Elfrid Payton podcast. I've done that too many times to Chip in the past. So
we're done. I was on Knicks Film School podcast today, and Andrew Claudio, the producer of the podcast, called him number six because he didn't want to say his name. That's how far we've taken it, isn't it?
I love it.
It's hilarious. It's very funny. But I saw some Knicks fans, and I'm sure, Steven, you can relate to this, getting upset with the amount of shots Fournier was taking in the first half already. We know Knicks fans are very passionate. Because RJ, I think he took two shots in the first half. Fournier played well in the first half, but he played his best ball in the second half. And obviously he had 12 points in the overtime. So he had three threes in the second overtime.
The blink of an eye.
Came out of nowhere. But the first half, RJ didn't score. So can you talk about what you think impact Fournier is going to have on RJ and the young guys?
Well, he's definitely going to take scoring away from them. he has a little bit of tunnel vision, too. He does like to attack the basket and score, but I think that can be worked out through coaching. That might just take a little while as the mind shift for him. But, I mean, like, he's a smart player. You know, he knows how to get to the basket. Like, I'm sure some of the younger guys on the team are going to learn better ways to score. Like simply like your wings will have a nice mentor a little bit in that aspect. You know, now maybe your wings can show him a little bit more on how to be a better defensive player. There could be mentorship both ways right there. But you know, Evan's a team player. He's going to buy into the system. Everyone's going to like him. He doesn't cause drama or issues within the team. Like everyone knew he was going to get traded. He knew he was going to get traded, and he played his heart out to the very last minute and actually got the buzzer beater, game winning shot the day before he got traded. So like he's someone that's going to buy into it. Like I hope Knicks fans are going to be frustrated because there's going to be times where he might have a costly turnover that will cost you a game, might take a couple of boneheaded shots in the beginning of a game that maybe should go to other players. But like, he's going to play hard for you. He's going to like give it all he's got every single night. So I think there's a little bit of love hate, but at the end of the day, it tends to be love because I think what he does more positively on the court and with the team tends to outweigh the couple games he might be a cause of a failure on, you know. And then hopefully he can perform for you guys in the playoffs. That's one thing that he has not done well is performing in the playoffs. So I do have like the Knicks as a playoff team in the East. So it'll be great to see him in a different uniform with a different like tier of hierarchy on the Knicks to see, excuse me, what he does for them in the playoffs. So yeah, I think only positive for the young players, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm looking for Fournier. I mean, everyone in New York loves Kemba because obviously hometown kid, but Fournier was the one pickup I'm most excited about. I think just cause I'm a big French basketball fan.
Cool.
I've like, can't root for Team USA. They're too good. So I've been rooting for Team France for a few years. So I've always been a big fan of Fournier.
I got a question, not about the current season. And it is about some past players of the Knicks, one that we might have already mentioned, but I'm not going to say his name yet. Who is more hated by Knicks fans, Mario Hezonja or Alfred Payton? Both ex-Magic players.
Payton.
Is it? Okay.
Hezonja.
Hezonja's
got – there's like a weird love for Hezonja in New York. Because
it's weird,
of the Giannis,
right?
The Giannis game,
the
LeBron game.
The Giannis game and the LeBron game. He dunked on Giannis in a game they won. And then like stepped over him. And then he had the LeBron where LeBron missed the game winner. And he was like pointing, laughing at him. Like Knicks fan. I feel like it's hard to hate Hezonja. He's like very frustrating on the court. He's kind of all over the place, but like something about him is just, it's like, that's just Mario being Mario.
Yeah. The whole, the line about Ricky Rubio when he was still overseas, when it was when he was playing at Barcelona and they asked him, are you going to go see Ricky Rubio play? And he said, why would I go see Ricky Rubio play? He should come see me play. Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Croatian Kobe.
He's ridiculous. I had to ask, cause I don't think I've actually ever chatted with Chip about Mario, which is funny.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Which is
pretty funny because we've talked so many times. We've never talked about Hezonja, and he's interesting.
Bad?
He's so bad.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Croatian Kobe. Great nickname.
Croatian.
I didn't mean to derail it, but I was thinking about that earlier and I wanted to ask that before because I actually had no idea what, I mean, I figured Knicks fans would like him because of his couple of highlight moments and that like it's what everyone, you know, Magic fans are still talking about his summer league performance, right? So I get it.
Yeah. Oh, he's your Kevin Knox.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Chip, literally Kevin Knox. Oh, the summer league.
Is Kevin Knox still on your team?
Yeah. Buried pretty far down on the bench, but he's still there.
He needs a new situation.
Yeah, I think it would be best for everyone, honestly. Like, he's clearly not able to get in the rotation, and he's just one of those guys. Yeah. It is what it is. But any final thoughts we got here, guys, on the upcoming weekend? We got the home-and-home doubleheader, Magic Knicks, the moment everybody's been waiting for.
the moment I've been waiting for.
That's true. Chip as the biggest Magic/Knicks fan.
Chip does have some serious Magic fandom in him, and I appreciate it.
That's right before you came on, Chip and I were talking and we were saying, think like this podcast has a very healthy relationship with Magic fans. Like,
I love it.
We hate Celtics fans. We hate like Lakers fans. We hate a lot of different fan bases, but we are like in alliance with Magic fans. We feel like
I hate like half the Magic fans. So like, don't worry. Yeah. You guys probably have love for them and where I have annoyance for them.
So yeah. Okay. That's true. Yeah. Well, we probably don't hear from them as much as you do. So that's probably why they don't, we're not fed up with them yet.
I had this like emotional thought earlier today where I wanted to go off on Magic fans on this podcast, but I'm going to save that for another show. You guys don't deserve to hear my frustration. We've had a lot of smiles and laughs right now, so we're going to just leave it there. I'll just give my prediction on what I think is going to happen. I think the Magic are going to get politely smoked in Madison Square Garden, and then I think it's going to be a much tougher game because I think Chumo Kiki's gonna come back. I'm speaking it into existence. I think Gary Harris gonna come back for the season opener, and at Amway on this over the weekend, and I think we see a really close game with Evan Fournier get the final shot to win the game. So I think it's gonna be 2-0, just a lot closer in Amway with Evan Fournier getting revenge on us.
I would sign up for that. I think so.
Yeah. The Fournier, the lock of the weekend is Fournier over on points in that one for sure.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Magic pulled something out of their butts for the home opener, but I'm still wrapping my head around this team and this coach that I honestly just don't know what to expect. Like, that's part of the reason why I'm just like giving it to the Knicks, because I just don't know yet. Like, I don't know much about like Coach Mosley's schemes yet and how he wants to run this team. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they're gonna play fast, I know they're gonna play hard, but like, I still don't know if dribble handoff is his favorite thing in the world or if he believes in a pick and roll like ever. Guys, I was watching the game this morning, I couldn't watch it last night. I didn't see my first pick and roll until like there was 5 minutes left in the first quarter. Like, that's how little pick and roll I saw with the Magic last night. And so it's just like, yeah, I'm still learning. Was that a scheme thing for the Spurs? Is that his philosophy right now? Like, so I don't know. So with so many unknowns, I'm just like, you know, I could be a blind biased fan and say, yes, let's, you know, the Magic are going to take, we're going to split this 1-1. But I think the reality is that it's probably going to be the Knicks. Just don't tell anyone I said that.
Yeah, we'll cut that part out. Right. Bleep that out for you. But thanks again, everybody, for listening for Knicks State of Mind. Steven, thanks again for coming on. We always appreciate having you on. And hopefully, maybe the next time the Magic play later and down the year, we'll have you back and see how that development's coming.
Dude, I hope we can get back on later on the year. Like, hopefully at that point I'll know more about the team and where we're at, and we'll see some more healthy players and Jonathan Isaac's just like locking you guys up and we're the ones smoking you guys and like you're down by 20 and Evan Fournier's crying and Kemba Walker's crying.
Yep.
Mitchell Robinson's getting shut down by Mo Bamba. Like, you know, oh, who's going to have more blocks this weekend? Mo Bamba or
Bamba.
Ooh.
Bamba.
Like the entire Knicks team or Mo Bamba?
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Bamba or Mitch.
No.
Definitely more than Mitch.
Knicks. I think Bamba's going to have more blocks than the entire Knicks organization through these two games. That's my prediction.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but I think it depends if Nerlens Noel plays. If he's healthy and he plays, that might change. But I don't think that's a crazy prediction.
That's another one I'm going after. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
There you go. But thanks again for listening, everybody. We will be tagging Steven and Close Up Magic and all his stuff in the tweet we send out tomorrow, or I guess today when you guys are listening, we'll have everything in there. So go check out his stuff. Go read his Magic stuff. Thanks again for coming on. And thanks again for listening, guys.